Guitars, World of Gaelic Games.
Hello and welcome to the TC Tyres World of Gaelic Games on Monday the 5th of July after a great weekend of hurling for Kilkenny. Thanks to Frank Tynan for another great edition of Kilkenny Today. Frank will be back again on Wednesday with some more great interviews and chat. I suppose we're joined in the studio as always by Ciarán Muldowney, Nicky Brennan and Barry Henriquez and Pat Tracy is on route somewhere.
Hello, Ciarán. He's somewhere. Pat Tracy report back here. He's somewhere in the building.
Car 54.
Okay, Nicky's got Richie Power there for you, I think.
No, Richie Mulrooney. Delight to be joined on the line by Richie Mulrooney. Good evening, Richie.
How are you, Ciarán? How are you?
Not too bad. Richie, we won't delay you too long. I know you're en route to training, but first of all, congratulations. You must be delighted with that performance.
Very happy to be in the honour of the final, Ciarán, that's for sure. Suppose we had the disappointment of 2019 against Wexford and 2018 against Dublin. Now, I know both years we came through the round robin and got to the All-Ireland final anyway, which is fantastic, and it's great to be back in another. But it is lovely to win the Leinster Championship, and just think maybe for a long time in Kilkenny just expected that provincial titles should come our way via that minor level or 20 level or senior level, and Kenfield has changed a lot in the last 10 or 15 years, so it's great to win a provincial championship.
Yeah, most definitely, Richie, and you could see the joy amongst the panel and players as well after when Timmy and Harry Shane went up to collect the cup. They were delighted down on the pitch.
I know they were, Ciarán. I suppose look at several of the many were involved as team members and panel members in 2019 when we suffered that loss to Wexford, and then I suppose this group have been together since November 2019 when trials started, and Saturday was only our second game because of all the lockdowns, but it meant absolutely everything to the players and to the management too, and their parents were thrilled as well.
Yeah, and just on the game then, Richie, you lost your centre-back Patrick Langton very early on and you had to rejig the team around. How is Patrick after that?
Patrick won't be back for Saturday, Ciarán. Just waiting on results of his scan at the moment, but it's just unfortunate for him because he's a great prospect, because he's also eligible for the 2021 year, which starts in the 14th time.
Yeah, and like he started off and settled into the game very well, Richie, on Saturday, and looked very comfortable in that position.
Absolutely, and he's a very good ball player as a centre back, and he reads the play very well. He helps his full back line, and so that was a major blow, I suppose, after a few minutes. But Garrod went back and did a fabulous job there as well, because obviously we would know that Garrod, from his underage hurling with Tullerone and the CBS, can play at the back and can play up front as well. So thankfully it worked out, and Ted made a major impact when he came on then for Garrod.
Yeah, definitely, and Ted got stuck in straight away and got a fabulous score, and under the stand it really, really settled him down.
Yeah, no, that was great. I mean, it really settled him, and it probably settled the team as well. I mean, the lads, none of us knew that was going to happen, obviously, Ciarán, and it wasn't the lads, so Garrod heading up centre back. They're all only 16, 17 years of age. It could have unsettled them, but no, in fairness to everybody, they just carried on and sort of put in that performance for Paddy, really, you know.
Yeah, most definitely. And Richie, just well noted with the players, say that 6 month to 7 month break, the lads seem to have developed physically.
I think it's been 6 months where players have had the chance, because of lockdown, to do their own individual programs, and that would be true in all counties as well, because when you see Galway on Saturday, Ciarán, you'll see just how big they are. They're a very, very big physical team, and I suppose players spent a lot of time doing individual gym programs at home, doing whatever they could when hurling wasn't going on. But certainly we would have found that with our under 16s, now they're under 17 now, that 6 months brought them on an awful lot with regard to being ready for minor hurling. And I suppose even though it's only three games, the two last, the one Friday night between Galway and Limerick, ours on Saturday against Offaly, and the one next Saturday, there's very much a feeling of the old minor in that it's an under 18 competition, even if it is only for a hard one, you know.
Yeah, definitely. And just on Galway, Richie, obviously got to see him on Friday
yeah.
evening. What did you think of him? Were you impressed?
They're very, very strong. They have six starters and three that came on in the 2019 minor final, as it is now. I mean, I know it's last year's competition, but it's 2 years ago now. So they're a fine side. Limerick gave them a great game on Friday, but Galway really, really ramped it up in the last 10 minutes. I think they scored 3-6 in the last 8 minutes alone. So, look, a huge task ahead of us. But with regard to development of Kilkenny underage hurling, the lads have made great progress themselves, and we'll give it every shot we can now on Saturday.
Yeah, definitely, and we'll all look forward to it. Just on the game Saturday, just I know we conceded three goals and there was a bit more, say, a safe penalty. Would it be a cause for concern, or was it just that the way the game went that Offaly were putting
pressure on? It just seemed to go that way, Kieran, because we had been delighted that we had played the extended Kilkenny under 20 panel a fortnight ago and didn't concede any goals.
Yeah.
And we sort of mentioned that was fierce important against Offaly not to concede goals and to funnel back together, get the two midfielders going back along with the backs, and to, you know, defend for our lives, really, to stop the goals going in. And we certainly did that really, really well in the first half. Now, look, we had gone into 12-13 point lead, and, you know, it might be hard to maintain focus, particularly the effort the lads have put in. So, look, we'd be a little bit disappointed that the two late goals went in, but glad that they went in late rather than early, you know.
Yeah, and exactly, and the players definitely responded very well. They came back with the next score, which is always very important as well.
Yeah, they did. And Harry Shine tagged on 2 points after they had got the two goals, and just to keep it to keep the scoreboard ticking over. And probably, just looking back on it, there was a couple of occasions in the second half ourselves when we missed well-worked chances, but we just missed the goal at the end, you know.
Yep, no, and look, Barry, have you a question there?
Barry, I have. Richie, to me...
Hi, Barry.
Hi, Rich. To me, the first half of that minor match was the most perfect hurling storm I've seen in a long, long time. I've never seen a team so cohesive in everything they do, so understanding from their number one, from Niall Rowan, Brian Minogue in the goal, and he's a very good goalkeeper. I can wax lyrically about Zach Bay Hammond, but the rest of them out there, I mean... Young Fitzpatrick from Dunamagan. There was a fierce wide spread of talent from around the whole county in this one. But the forwards, Richie, the forwards really were poetry in motion. When they started working, like Harry Shine, what a brilliant prospect he is. He, superb hurler. And Billy Drennan, he got 13, according to my reckoning, he got 13 points. And maybe one or two from play. And Offaly had no score up to... that their second point in the 23rd minute of that first half, and that was a 65. That says something about the Kilkenny defence. They couldn't get by that half-back line.
Yeah, well, look, it's, the lads did play well in that opening period, Barry. There's no doubt about that, and their support play was very good. We did have the aid of a very strong breeze to help us get started, and probably we just got the start that maybe awfully needed. But we would certainly have to produce that again and more on Saturday, and that's our aim to do that. But it's going to be a different ball game altogether on Saturday.
Yeah, no, and Richie, we won't delay any longer. We greatly appreciate you coming on this evening. I know
at short
notice, and look, from everyone in the studio here and on Community Radio, we wish you all the best, and hopefully we can come back with the title on Saturday.
Please God. You're on, Barry. Thanks very much. Take care.
Thanks a million, Richie. And that was Richie Mulrooney, the Kilkenny minor manager. Lads, I know, Barry, you were up there.
Oh, yeah.
And I totally...
It's not you streaming.
Yeah.
You got more than I got for me, Dave. That's for sure.
Well, what do we?
It's exactly what I said to you. The first half of the match was superb from a Kilkenny viewpoint. So much talent out in that field. I just mentioned Harry Shine there. But the likes of Owen O'Brien from the Royal Innistig, he was electric.
Yeah,
electric.
Brilliant.
And like, where else would you see? I've never seen that happen before, where you pull one of your best forwards, your full forward, your centre back is knocked out, you pull your best forward out the field and put him in at number six. Just shows you what the selectors knew about their players. They had fierce confidence in all them players. You know, there's two young lads there from Dunamagan. I thought they were terrific. Yeah, Dennis Walsh was great. And Timmy Clifford, great captain, isn't he?
Yeah, no.
Well, he's not great at speech making, but and accepting cups, but sure, that's not the game he's interested in.
I know, but look,
you know,
I think,
but the six forwards I thought were brilliant, Kieran. What did you think of them?
Yeah, no, I thought the work rate, Barry, when they didn't have the ball, I thought it was superb.
They made it talk.
Timmy Clifford was a great anchor there, centre forward. Yeah, he was breaking the ball, and I tell you, Barry, the running off the ball, the overlap was excellent.
Fantastic.
There was always great support for the players, and like you said, I thought Owen O'Brien mightn't have scored from play, but he was involved in an awful lot of scores, and he was, I don't know how many times he was fouled. He's showed great. Once he got the ball in his hand, he put his head down and went for goal, and the Offaly lads had no response.
Yeah, I wasn't in at the match because I was in Dublin, but I'm curious to hear both of you what you have to think. On Friday night, looking at Limerick and Galway, clearly the players, the extra year has made them much bigger, as a lot of people are now using the term, they were real minors. What did you think in terms of Kilkenny? Did they look physically bigger with the year?
I thought Kilkenny Kilkenny would be lacking a little bit in the physicality of the game, the physique of the game, not the physicality of the game, because you have a lad like Harry Shine now, isn't, you know, he's not that big, but he ran, he had great courage, and he ran the straight line. You get corner forwards that go way out to the corner and they try and square a ball across, but this guy went route one every time. But so did every one of them. They took on the traffic and went by it. You know, I thought their physique may be a little bit short on the by comparison with the Galway lads, but it won't matter. These lads can hurl, and they can hurl with great great courage and you know, direction, but they're hurling so well as a unit, you know. Collectivity is terrific.
I thought, Barry, as well, just that, like, there was no selfishness in the team, like, you know, they'd always use the better option, didn't they?
You
know,
that's what I'm saying to you, yeah.
And I thought Billy Reid was powerful all through at number seven. He came forward and got a great
score.
Young Colm Egan from Offaly, then the dual star, the football captain as well, but he was causing his problems, and then Zach Bay Hammond went over on him and did a great job Hammond. On him.
And I tell you, I was just talking to Jackie Tyrrell last night about something, and he said, "Were you up at the minor?" I said, "What? What were they like?" I said, "Terrific." I said, "There's a young lad there at left corner back, Jackie. He's some hurler, Jackie. He's the best hurler I've ever seen. In fact," I said, "Jackie, you're too good a hurler to be playing a cornerback." And Jackie said, Hey, do you know who you're talking to?"
Just get on, for the benefit of listeners, that game against Galway, the All-Ireland final, is in MW Harrimore Park on next Saturday evening at 5 o'clock, and it's live on TG Cahir.
At 5 o'clock, perfect.
But they can also listen to the dulcet tones of Mr. Henriquez, who will be bringing the updates from Portlaoise on the radio as well. So maybe turn down TG Cahir and listen to Barry.
There's an expression to be used, but I can't use it on the radio. Go on, Nicky.
Pat Kieran, did you get to see the minor match? You got to see it through Barry, did you?
I got to see it through Barry, that's right, yeah. Sure, I was hearing.
Yeah, you got to see it, okay.
He painted a picture, yeah. Abstract painting, I might add.
And what about Friday night's game, Pat? Did you
see? The only remark I'd say about the minor was Kilkenny took control very early on, but I would say from a distance, three goals scored, penalty saved, and you know, that was too much skirmishing around our goal. That's the only thing I take away from it, not having seen a bit of it.
And I think in fairness, Richie said that they had played under-20s in a challenge the week before and hadn't conceded any goals, so it's just, I suppose, in fairness, awfully. They had only one goal, Barry, up to what, about the 50th minute, was it?
Well, that's right. They only had one goal up to the 50th minute. They got that goal 32 minutes. They only
just
had one goal,
yeah.
Absolutely, up to the 51st minute.
Mm.
Mm. You know, they got their first goal at the 32nd minute, just in the call of half-time. You know, it tells you something about them. And I thought Kilkenny actually had taken their foot off the pedal.
Yeah, probably what happened, but yeah. But then again, that's a nice stick to have going into the final.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Definitely something to work on. Right, we'll take our first commercial break. Join us after the break for more hurling discussion.
TC Tires World of Gaelic Games.
And welcome back at 18:23. Nicky, you're in Craw Park on Saturday night covering for us here. What were your opinions?
Oh, a classic, you're on. An absolute classic. Now, to be absolutely fair about it, 8 points, there wasn't 8 points in it at the end. This game could have gone anyway. In the early stages, Kilkenny could have got a couple of goals. Owen Cody hit the post, goalie made good saves, so anything could have happened there. Then there was times during the match when Wexford could have got goals. Very alert was Owen Murphy in the goal, and the point about it was the goal we conceded against Wexford, the David Dunn goal, was something that there's a bit of work to be done on there, where a number of players converged on the dropping ball. And James Maher was ahead of David Dunn, and David Dunn was behind him. So once David Dunn got a yard on him, he had the advantage there. So there's things to work on there. But look, there's a number of things to take out of the game. There's a number of Kilkenny players maturing with every match. Eoghan Cody, Adrian Mullen, just to mention two. They've really come on. Now, Adrian maybe wasn't as strong in the game as Eoghan Cody, but Cody is becoming a serious hurler now at this stage. The bench was critical. Seven of the subs, I mean 15 Kilkenny scorers on the day. I don't know, I've known of no Kilkenny match where 15 players scored for the team. Seven of the subs that scored, Killian Buckley might have been the only one, and he wasn't on long enough. They scored 1-9. Now I'm including Billy Ryan in that, who came back on and got the point. 1-9, that was significant. And Brian Cody said numerous times here the importance of getting a strong squad from during the league, and I think he has achieved that. So look, at this could have gone anyway, but at the end of the day, fitness was a big factor as well. Wexford were dropping like flies in the second half extra time. Kilkenny stood that test well. Now, they were sore and tired after, there's no doubt about it. But I do think we have to balance it all by saying there was, you know, we made mistakes as well. And everything wasn't rosy in the garden. And there was a reason why they had to make so many substitutions as well as everything else. So there's plenty to work on there. But as games go, it was just great. And I mean, in fairness to Fergal Horgan, maybe it's because he delivers the post around Urlingford and Johnstown, but I mean, he just let the play go, and it was great stuff.
Yes, Ciarán, just to pick up on that point Nicky was making, I know Brian Cody has always said in the interviews we were talking, it's all about the panel. And if you looked at, say, the changes we made in extra time compared to what Davey did, he was bringing in players he had already taken off. Like, if you're lining up against a Mikey Carey in extra time now, and you're after hurling, say, 76 minutes, and then you're Killian Buckley's coming in as well, you know, fresh legs like that, you can't, like, it was really the defining point for us.
Yeah, and you're a Wexford defender suffering with cramp, and next thing Billy Ryan and James Bergen come on. You know, it was great use of the bench by Kilkenny, and great trust in the players. And we know that Kilkenny management always have great trust in the players. But I said it to Nicky on the show last night as well. All you can ask for is when a lad is on the field to contribute, and players. You know, there was a huge number of players on the field for various different lengths of time, and during that time everybody gave it everything, and you know, that's all you can ask for. You know, the subs that came on, Wally got 1-1, James Bergen got 2 points, Billy got a point when he came on, you know, and Mikey Carey, a couple of interceptions. There was some great tackling, tracking back, stopping the ball going up the field. I thought once it got to extra time there was only going to be one winner, because the way Wexford play, they barely get to 70 minutes with the energy sapping tactics that they have. And once it went to extra time, then I was confident enough at that. Thanks be to God that ball went over the bar at the end, because you know, we'd have been gone other than that. Down at that end, he did us another favour. But
having said that, though, Ciarán, the referee, the horse, the umpire had gone for the flag and had it was waving.
Yeah. Hawkeye confirmed it, but in fairness to the umpires, they were spot on. Like you say, Ciarán, about the use of the panel, you know, you always see it from Brian Cody that he trusts players on the panel, and rightly so. These are good hurlers, and okay, not everybody will play well every day, but you trust them all the time, and rightly so.
Yeah, Pat, just to pick up, look, I know we don't like focusing on Davey Fitzgerald, but now that's 2019 where he had an extra man, he had an extra man in extra time, and that didn't kick on. You know, is this, like, people laud Davey Fitzgerald as a tactical genius, but obviously he can't work against 14 men.
Yeah, It just seemed the extra time, maybe the legs were gone in extra time, and it was in the first 10 minutes of extra time that they had the extra man. So, you know, but they were after getting the G up of a goal, which would have been a big plus. But I was listening somewhere to Davey in an interview, and he was talking about that he had three lads on the subs that he couldn't use that were carrying injuries, and he was afraid that if he brought them on that they'd pull their hamstrings and that type of thing. And one of them was a Damien Rick, and I don't know,
Joe O'Connor was another, and
Joe
O'Connor,
and someone, I don't know if it was Harry Keogh or whoever, but anyway, he was talking about three, which are like, if they were that way, why would you have the three on the subs? Why wouldn't you have three other lads?
Exactly. Sure, like, yeah,
sure, don't they have about 40 training anyway?
Like, you know, so the likes of Young Lawler, you know, the good miner.
Yeah.
Surely he's his energy, you know.
Yeah, that's right. And coming in when the two teams are wrecked, like, you know. So, you know, and that's where the Kilkenny bringing in, I would say, the likes of James Bergen, I said he'll come off the field now with a couple of points in the circumstances. And you know, because that's where, because he's a finisher. And that's all, you know, because, look, there was nothing in it in the 70 minutes. And, you know, so there was...
And do you know, Pat, if they played next Sunday, there wouldn't be a whole lot in it either.
Probably not.
Yeah,
But I think it's a massive boost for Kilkenny. It's a massive boost in confidence, and it's a massive boost for the panel.
Definitely, yeah.
That it brings lads on a tone.
Yeah. Mm. Barry, just on that, say, point, you know, lads are getting plenty of experience now. And, you know, a couple of mistakes were made, but the main thing was they reacted well after a mistake was made and kept digging in and driving on again.
Well, it just shows you, like, a lot of people had to eat humble pie after yesterday evening with regard to Brian Cody and his whole management ethos. But it just shows you the trust that there's in that camp between the players. Like, he brought on Wally. People say, you could hear moans around the place. What's he doing now? You know, why is he bringing on him? Wally, first ball Wally won. He won it at left half back. And he drove it right across the park. Well, he gave it to TJ. TJ drilled it into the corner, if you cast your memory back.
Cody,
own Cody got the point.
Yeah.
Straight over. But Wally picked that first ball he touched was at left half back. You know, I didn't know where. And then the run he made. Now, how long is it since any remember Wally making a run like that? Halfway between when he started and where he finished, you would have said normally Wally would be looking to lay it off. But, like, there was devilment, there was fierce determination, and Wally trusted himself. And that's what Cody trusted Wally to do something like that for him. And Wally obliged, and he went all the way, and he nailed it, you know. And that was a hell of a run. I haven't seen Wally make a run like that with the end result the way it was. Yeah. And that was vital. That knocked Wexford for six. To talk about a panel, I think Davey is picking, Davey is picking 15 from about 13.
Yeah, I'd agree.
I think John Donnelly contributed massively as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
everyone did, Pat.
Yeah.
Everyone did, yeah.
Just, I suppose, one concern for Kilkenny going forward into the Leinster final is, you know, when, say, our backs are attacking, it's important, you know, that someone does drop back, and that's where the goal inevitably came from. Say, I know Padraig had gone forward for a shot, but like Jack O'Connor then had gone over the other side of the pitch for a pint as well, you know. So I think it's definitely, while we like to see a bit of attacking flair from our backs, defending our goal is the number one thing.
Oh, you're dead right, Kieran. I mean, that goal, when they look back at it, I'm sure Brian will bring it up plenty of times, they lost their shape. I mean, three or four guys went in on it, and James Maher, who wouldn't be a natural back now, James Maher was played terrific when he came on, but he was slightly caught off guard if you're not used to playing in that position, and that's something they'll have to rectify. Look, we have issues, lads. We as much as we'd like to think we have everything rosy in the garden, again, not for the first time this year, we had it up without the two starting midfielders staying on the field. And I give huge credit to the selectors. They made some very sharp calls now, and they were, the selectors played a blinder last Saturday evening. And but at the end of the day, we have to be fair. We'll be sitting here in the next Friday night week, and we'll be thinking about, well, what might the team be? And right now there's four or five positions up for grabs on that Kilkenny team, despite how well we played.
Yeah, it's a good position to be in, I suppose, after a win.
Does it come down to trust, lads? The trust between Cody and his players. Do you trust them to do the right thing at any given time? You know, and it's part of the Kilkenny instinct. You don't. You go to any of the Kilkenny hurlers and they do something. You say, "Well, why did you do that?" I don't know. I think it was the. I thought it was the right thing to do at the time. And trust. And Cody trust that. That element of their hurling.
But well, it's also a case of where he'll trust. He knows that to win the Leinster final, to win any other match, is now 20 people.
I agree with you. Yeah, that's what I'm saying to you, Nicky.
5:15 will take the field. Kieran, agree?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, God, yeah. I mean, Limerick have shown the template for that over the last couple of years. You'll never again see an intercounty team finish with the same 15 that start.
No, and Pat, any questions about stamina last year were surely quashed on Saturday night.
That's true, the way they finished so strong. And I think, you know, all through the league, Brian Cody was saying, looking to have a panel that's ready for the championship. That's what the league was about. And I suppose their Saturday proved that that's what they've achieved. And, you know, let's see, can they kick on from here? And look at the... It is a massive prize being in just the provincial final, because you're in the All-Ireland quarter final, and the prize for winning then is the semi-final. It's just
Put out this question to the whole lot of you. Brian Cody, to my mind, was the only manager that worked the league to perfection. Then he would get new players, he was blooding them, he was doing everything else. The rest of them, like David, came down to an All-Ireland Park as a joke. He brought them down, they learnt nothing, they did nothing, and they went home knowing nothing. You know what I mean? And Cody, about listening to him on every weekly interview you have with him, Pat. Every weekly interview you have with him, Pat. He's talking about the spirit, and he's talking about the team ethic, and we're getting ready. One thing they're looking at, but he drilled into him the best habit you could ever have is a winning habit, and Cody did it all the way. He got the best value of the league out of anyone.
No, definitely, and we definitely needed the league. You know, we needed to find a couple of new players, and we did.
There's no doubt about it. And as of now, we're still joint league winners, unless we happen to come up against Galway later in the championship. We thought that might be a possibility.
Does that still apply now?
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, yeah.
If or we will meet, it, or is that an instinctive decision?
No. Somebody? Yeah. Well, if we meet Galway later in the championship, that game will qualify as the league final.
Will it, yeah?
But we were saying it could be the Leinster final. We now know it's not going to be the Leinster final. So. Anyway, I think the decider is fairly, it's, I won't call it irrelevant in the overall scheme of things, but it's low down on priority at this stage.
Yeah.
Oh, Galway.
Text in from Jim Rohn. Hello, Nicky, Barry, Pat, Kieran, Richie. Is the Kilkenny versus Dublin game on the TV on Saturday week?
First of all, it's on at 7:30 in Croke Park. I would imagine it's probably an RTE game. Now, I know there was quite a number of people annoyed over the fact that there was 3 games on Sky. I don't know the facts now here. I'm guessing that the reason that might have happened is that possibly RTE were under pressure with the golf. They had to do golf on Saturday, and they also had to do an Irish Rugby International, and they may not have been able to pick up on the evening game. So that's why they had the 3 of them. They would have probably had only 2 of them. So that could be the reason, right? Because I know a number of people were annoyed over that. But my gut feeling is that possibly could be an RTE game. But I don't have anything to base that on that for certain. I'm speculating.
Yeah. Thanks for your text, Jim. Great to hear from you. And if anyone else at home wants to text us in on the taxback.com line, it's 086-353-7782. We also have a text in from Paddy the Dub Kelly. Hi lads, Kilkenny were supreme and a great manly game. Real hurling, the game is now over analysed by coaches and bogging down players with system and tactics, and great to see Kilkenny playing with players to give the chance to express themselves. Dublin will give a great game, and all depends on which Dublin turns up. Kilkenny have some problems with teams running at them. And that's from Paddy the Dub Kelly. Great to hear from you, Paddy.
Who are you supporting, Paddy?
I tell you now, in fairness to Dublin, I think one of the big issues they have to address this week is will they be able to get O'Donnell back okay at full back? He would be a monster loss to him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, sure, if it's a hamstring.
If it's a hamstring, he's under pressure, yeah. Now, it might be me and young Andrew Dunphy will come in, but I mean, he has a huge game on his hands in Nolan Park next Saturday evening in the All-Ireland final.
Yeah, I think, though, if they drop back Darragh Gray on Saturday to full back, and I think his presence on the half-back line is crucial for Dublin.
Yeah.
You know, he kind of sweeps in around Liam Rush, and he has that physical presence as well to contest.
And he's able to score points from distance.
Exactly, you know.
Got two great points now.
that could be, it'll be tough. I know James Maddon is after having a good impression so far as well in his first two championship games.
A hard week for James Maddon, buried his father on Friday, I think it was. That was a tough call, but sometimes, you know, his father would have wanted him to play. So.
But Nicky, from what I looked at on television, Galway were atrocious. They were absolutely atrocious.
Well, Galway in the early stages, bear in mind they kept
they
going
for arrogant
and everything. Arrogant, that's absolutely, you know what I mean? You're absolutely spot
one
on.
One line from players
I was taking the notes in that match, and they got the goal. Galway got their first score, in I think it was the 12th minute. I'm trying to see and look at my notes here now. Yeah, they got their first score. And I haven't know where it has gone here now, but it was at least 12 minutes into the game, 13 minutes before they got their first score, and they had missed a couple of handy chances. Now the guys from Galway Bay FM were beside me in the commentary, and obviously they had to be careful what they would say on air, but Jesus, at half time they were fairly scathing of Galway and what was going on.
Yeah, and look, Kilkenny have had, say, disappointing results where games haven't gone our way, but one thing you can never say about Kilkenny is that they don't go out fighting. But like I thought, Galway, Pat, went out with a whimper.
They were very poor, and they never showed, there was no cohesion at all in their play. There was nothing happening really, you know. But look, Dublin are in under 20 All-Ireland. I wonder if they won that now Saturday.
Be a great run.
You're building up, and
Kieran, it looks as though as well Dublin have got the most out of Danny Sutcliffe as we haven't saw in the last couple of years.
He's back to his best form since 2013, I'd say. Scored some great points the other day, and you see when Danny Sutcliffe butters his arse and puts in an effort, he's a great hurler. You know, he's very, very talented, and it's one thing, you know, hitting balls over your shoulder from 80 yards out in the wing and one or two of them might go over or not, but when he does the sensible things well, he's brilliant. And the other day then you saw him dropping back into his own half back line, carrying the ball out, and he did it once and stuck it over the bar for a great score at the end. He's a top class hurler when he puts his mind to it.
Remember an under 21 match down in Nolan Park? Was it a Leinster final against Kilkenny? Where the referee sent off one of the Dublin midfielders. Was Sutcliffe playing that night for Dublin, under 21?
I think that was John Wilsh's year, was it?
Would he have been playing that year?
No. Sutcliffe would be closer to 30 now.
One of the most underrated lads in Dublin is that cornerback, Paddy Smith
at Clontarf,
he's a tank, that lad.
How many times in the last couple of years have we seen Con Cannon not score from play?
I couldn't believe it, and I did miss the early stages, but during the league that Galway set of forwards, they sent shivers down my spine. I said, God, they could tear anybody asunder, and they had 6 points after 25 minutes or something, you know, something chronic. I mean, just terrible scoring, really.
They're making a difference when you're marked.
take away Conor Whelan, Kieran.
And they didn't start Evan Nyland. Very strange, you know. It was hard to work out what Galway were doing.
Galway
had
six points
after 37 minutes.
37 minutes, yeah.
Mm. And like 1-9 from play from a Galway team overall is...
Are they finished? Galway.
Well, the first round of the qualifiers will tell us a lot about how all those beaten teams have reacted. And the ones who react the best are the ones who will progress. And some of them, and you'll often see it in the qualifiers, some of them are just to kind of throw their hat at it and give up. Whereas others regroup very well. And, you know, once we see a couple of matches, we'll know who's on and who's off.
Galway always play one bad bitch of a game every year where they absolutely wouldn't beat the John Locks of Callan. And that wouldn't be difficult. You know, but
a good few teams have struggled the last year, Barry.
But they come back, what?
Good few teams have struggled.
But do you know what I mean? They have a habit then of coming back.
To get annoyed at themselves.
Get annoyed. And I would hate to be the next team to play Galway. Yeah. And I don't care who they are.
Well, they need to respond then.
I have no money on them this year. Maybe they'll win.
It'll be a test of character. Before we go to our second commercial break, we have text in. Darren Brennan was very unlucky with the penalty and done very well. Very, very unlucky now for his first bit of play when he came on as well, and was Owen Murphy a bit rash at times, although he did brilliant with the Rory O'Connor effort.
Well, it was his third time bringing the ball down from under the post. His first two times, there was no Wexford player anywhere near him. So, look, it's a gamble. You have to call it as a gamble, and thankfully, on this occasion...
Yes. The worst you're a star, if it doesn't, you're a clown.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, and the first two made a difference, though, when you look at the score at the end.
The third one made a difference, a bigger difference, didn't it?
That was over.
But that's the one that made the difference.
Right, we'll take our second break. Stay tuned, we'll be after the break, where we'll be talking to Aoife Lanigan ahead of the under 16 All Ireland semi final.
TC Tars, World of Gaelic Games.
And welcome back at 18:46. Delighted to be joined on the line by Kilkenny PRO, Aoife Lanigan. Good evening, Aoife.
Good evening,
Ciarán. Aoife, how are things going ahead of the semi-final on Sunday in Banagher? 2 p.m. I think is the start time, is it?
2 p.m. yeah, in Banagher. We've doing well training. We training there yesterday, and then we train again Wednesday and then Friday night. Yeah, all going well. Just a few little niggles, but we hope to have the 3 girls that are out at the moment to be back on Wednesday night to go full steam ahead.
And just, Aoife, on your opposition then, you're playing Tipperary. Did you get to see that game at the weekend?
I didn't, but management did go down and see, and learnt a lot. We did play Tipperary during my Caldy in a challenge game, and they've noticed differences in the team and that, and they've had a few extra players that played against that time, and that played against Limerick. And Limerick did put us up to him at the beginning, when we look at Tip when he scored 3 points in the second half. Now, I don't know, could have been to do with the weather or the wind or whatever, but Tip are strong in any sport when you think of it.
Yeah, definitely.
Hurling, Camogie or whatever, it's going to be a rivalry between the two of us anyway, but hopefully it'll be a good match.
Yeah, definitely. And obviously, Banagher's a venue you're familiar with the last couple of years as well, Aoife.
It is. It would be, you know, in the older age with intermediate and senior, and one crowd that are very used to it is Loretta. They won both their junior and senior colleges, All Ireland there last year. So Caoimhe Kermorta will be used to it. She scored a few goals for Loretta last year in the junior All Ireland. So yeah, it's a long enough journey away. Like, it's supposed to be a neutral venue, but it's. The pitch, it's wide. It's like that has a stand in it. You have to get used to it if you kind of know what kind of pitch it is for the players. You kind of play in a wider pitch. Like, we were training on a tight pitch the other night, but I think girls will be well up for it.
And just on that, then, Aoife, will spectators be allowed in, or how many?
We haven't been updated yet. What it was like, depending on the matches where they were at the weekend, there was up to 500 at one of the matches, and there was 200 at another. So depending, I don't know what the capacity of Banagher is, so we could at least we have 200 to 500 supporters. But it probably will be going online anyway, so if people want to keep an eye out on it, to either on the Camogie Association website or even our own Kenny Camogie, either on Facebook or Twitter, we'll have it up.
Yeah, definitely, yes. And just in terms of the seniors then, Aoife, any word on how they're going, or any injuries or anything like that?
Haven't heard of any injuries. They're going great at the moment. That's on looking down to get to clear on the 17th. Pity that it's on the same day as the Leinster final that the senior hurlers are in against Dublin. It's down, provisionally down in Clare for 5 o'clock. We are trying to get it pushed back a bit, that we can, you know, like, if supporters were being in Clare, a lot of people probably wouldn't get up to Dublin, but, or I'm just saying, like, if we get to watch it, it'd be like, I remember a few years ago we were playing in Limerick and the hurlers were playing at the same time, so kind of got that put back a bit so they could see it in a pub. But the thing with COVID, you probably won't be able to see that, so you probably could be listening to it on the bus home. But yeah, everything seems to be working, the same with the intermediates. I know the intermediates are a week later, but all seem to be going well. I haven't heard of any injuries. Touch wood, nothing there yet.
That's brilliant to hear, Aoife. And look, best of luck to you now on Sunday. And
thanks,
hopefully, we'll be looking forward to an All Ireland final place for the under 16 team. And you're on a great run. So best of luck to you and the selectors and managers and all the team.
Thanks very much, Ciarán.
Thanks, Aoife. And that was Aoife Lanigan. who joins us every Monday night. Nicky, a couple of Camogie results from the weekend?
Yeah, a couple of big results. I'll run through them very quickly. Junior C, Carrick Shock 2-7, Aucklin Gales 2 pints. In Junior C, it was Munkine 2-10, Tullerone 1-4. Senior League, Tullerone 3-16, Young Ireland 3 pints. Senior Leagues, St. Bridges 1-7, Piltown 7 pints. Senior League, St. Martins 1-11, Clare 9 pints. Intermediate League, St. Clair's 5-6, Roaring Estigue 2-12. Intermediate League, Barry Rangers 4-15, Glenmore 1-9. Intermediate League, Ballyhale 3-9, Aucklin Gales 3-8. Junior League, Tullaher 3-12, Dixborough 3-3. Junior League, Bennisbridge, John Locks 1-16, Nave Breed 1-5. Senior League, Winegap 7-7, St. Lactans 2-10. Senior League, Dixborough 4-17, Connie Shamrock's 18 points. And finally, Junior C League played on Friday night. It was St. Martin 7-15, Ballyhale Shamrocks 1-6.
Did you say Bennisbridge, John Locks?
I did. That's been playing at Camogie level now for some time.
Did
That's
you say that was going to be brief?
Anyway, he's no Sean Ogo Calicon.
No, true.
And by the way, that match against Dublin is going to be on RT. Thank you to message in from Seamus Reid.
Okay, now we had a phone call in about steps at the weekend and goals. Liam Burke out there in Dunmore, and Liam is a great GA man. Whelan took 11 steps for Galway for the goal against Dublin. Limerick half back Kyle Hayes, he took 9 steps before he scored. Chap of the Duns, he took 9 steps before he scored a goal against Kilkenny. And MacDonald of Wexford was in the square before the ball came in to score the goal. That wasn't. That, you know, that's the goal that was a pint.
Oh yeah, there was a pint, there was a goal.
How were you saying about that, Kieran? About...
Oh, no, I was only just asking.
Once the ball is struck.
No, there might have been experimental rules in the league or something, but once he wasn't in the square before the ball was struck, you mentioned it could be football or something.
Well, definitely in football, that's the rule now, that, you know, once the ball is kicked, you can go in the square and be there when it arrives. Before, that was... You couldn't be, but if it was a free, you couldn't be in the square before.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, Liam's other points raise one of the two biggest issues in the GAA rules at the moment, steps. Everybody's overcarrying, and also
everybody shouts it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, when the other lad does it. Yeah,
it's just that the referee doesn't know it.
And also the throw and hand pass, lads. The amount of throws that go on. Two of those are serious issues at the moment.
Absolutely.
Anyway, that's not. We didn't even get to the sin bin.
No, Liam is spot on. Okay, we better talk about the sin bin, the famous incident in Town in Tip and Clare. And we should tell Joe Burton, Joe, you're only starting at 7:30.
Kieran, take over your program there. Take it off.
Pat, we have the answer back from Paddy the Dub. He says, "Hi lads, Dublin, always a dub, but can't lose. Kilkenny have gave me and work and fed me for 35 years.
Well done, Paddy.
And I'll tell you what we'll do now.
Let's look at the picture ahead.
On this evening, 2 weeks, we should give an invitation to Paddy to come into the studio.
Yeah.
Paddy, you're entitled to be in here and fight your corner.
Absolutely.
Good man.
Yeah, no, and...
He's a picture ahead, didn't he?
Huge supporter
on
of...
On the screen there.
Huge supporter of hurling and Camogie in Kilkenny.
Yeah, and he's helped us out here a number of times. Fair play to you, Paddy, when we appreciate that.
Also, another text in there. Tommy Welsh is very good. The other night, took his score well, but we need a little more... surgery in defence and midfield to get the balance right. If we had Conor Delaney and Darren Mullen fit, would they strengthen us, Kieran?
Well, certainly Conor Delaney, if he was fit, he'd be on the team, because he was very close to being an all-star last year. Darren Mullen has yet to make an impact or break into the team, and he looks like a lad who's just about to do it all the time. But certainly Delaney, and you could play him anywhere you like, play him wing back, corner back, full back, centre back, doesn't matter.
Definitely. Pat, just on that sin bin then on yesterday between Clare and Tipperary, I see a tweet that your man was further to the Ennis Road than he was to the goal. But I thought it was a terrible decision myself. What did you think?
Yeah, sure, look, no one understood it. It was a yellow card all day long, free in, end of story.
Spot on.
He took the ball in about 25 yards to put it on the penalty spot, if you like. You know, it's a great penalty, though.
It's a great penalty, yeah.
Yeah,
but like the wording of that when it says when there's a goal chance on, I never in my life saw a lad getting a goal standing on the sideline 10 yards up from the corner flag or 12 yards up from the corner flag and getting a goal from the sideline. It never happened, lads. And like there has to be a threat of a goal or there has to be
Barry,
a presence.
Yeah, but Barry,
a possible goal.
Kerr in 1972.
I know, he was in
off the spot. It's down to the interpretation of a referee, and the bottom line is this was an absolutely incorrect interpretation of the rule.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And it's as simple as that. And the reason why the rule is not going to be changed is because of the incident with Owen Murphy and Dublin, which was a correct decision by Fergal Horgan, and that was precisely the reason the rule was put in. Maybe you're easier to adjudicate. But James Owens was wrong, and James Owens has made mistakes in the past, and it's time now maybe James was told just sit aside now for a little while until we...
Well, one out of three, not bad.
What?
one correct decision out of three, not too bad. Given the Limerick penalty was...
Ciarán, were you impressed with Limerick on Saturday evening?
Yeah, see, Limerick, they kind of cod you into thinking that they've played badly, but they haven't, you know. They mastered Cork once they put the foot down just before half-time, it was all over. Cork let off a lot of steam early on and should have been farther ahead earlier. They weren't helped by, Patrick Horgan missing frees, and then he missed the penalty and didn't play well from play. Sucked the absolute life out of Cork, it really did. And then obviously the double whammy just before half time. The game was over at half time and Limerick are the best team I've ever seen to be 5 points up from a long way out and win it by 5 or 6 points, you know. They hold you off at arm's length, they choke the life out of the game. But you know, I think and nobody's done it yet apart from us in the semi-final in 19, you have to destroy that platform that they build from, which is the half back line. They will do anything other than just hit the ball away in midfield. They'll risk losing possession in order to try and get a lad into possession, the likes of Hayes, Hannon and Burns, to get good ball into the forwards. And when they do that, then they will destroy you because the runners come from everywhere. But they do lull you into thinking that they've hurled badly, but they're very, very strong.
Was that All-Ireland semi-final against Kilkenny the last time they got two goals in the match, in a championship match?
I don't know.
Yeah.
But most days, Pat, they don't bother going for goals. You know, they hit 30 points most days, you know.
Yeah.
They should rewrite that expression, Rebel Cork. There was an ounce of fight in them last Friday night. Or Saturday, was it Saturday night?
Saturday
evening. Yeah. There was an ounce of fight. They should write the word Rebel with inverted commas.
Yeah.
They're not Rebels.
Mickey, just picking up from last year, Garrod Hegarty was lucky on a number of occasions. I thought there on Saturday evening he went in hard a couple of times now, that definitely a yellow card.
I was listening to some commentary now. I didn't see the game because I was coming down from Croke Park, but quite a number of people were commenting on it. The fact, I think somebody on the radio actually think it was Brian Carroll, said he was very lucky he didn't get a double yellow. And they're living a bit on the edge. And
well,
I know.
He is.
Yeah, but there's one or two of them as well. Yeah. And apparently he was lucky, but I didn't see the instance now. And unfortunately, the Sunday game is only such a short snippet. You don't see half.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think the incident was a Limerick lad fouled a Cork lad, and then he came in and got the Cork lad and wasn't even spoken to. And I think that was the incident that you were talking about.
Yeah. Okay, we leave it there. And text for Barry before he goes. It says, any teams Barry train couldn't score points from the sideline, let alone goals.
Thanks, Barry.
That's where we leave it. Thanks to Barry, Ciarán and Nicky and Pat for Jamie in studio. Thanks to Ethan Lannigan and Richie Mulrooney for joining us on the phone. Most of all, thanks to you for listening at home and our sponsor, TC Tyres. Stay tuned after 7 for Joseph Bourne for Country and Irish. And we'll talk to you next Monday night. Good night, God bless, and thanks for listening.
TC Tyres, World of Gaelic Games.